Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
We have made it. For months and months and months, the speculation. Remember the days of tanking? I want this guy. I don't want that guy. In about 6.5 hours, all our questions will be answered at the NFL draft. But it's not only that tonight. The Islanders play for their season. The Knicks look for the kill. And the Yankees wrap up their four-gamer with the Oakland A's. We'll touch on it all as the show rolls on, including a visit from Bad Tiki coming up at 4:30. Tiki, here's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm. You're not a real Jet fan? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not a real Jet fan.
You're not wearing Jet gear right now.
Let me tell you something.
I am wearing giant gear. Loogie is wearing giant gear. Sean Morash is wearing giant gear. We are all in for draft day.
Yes.
You're over there with a Mets pullover.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. Since you care about my fashion so much, I pick fashion based on the weather. And so most of my Jet gear, in fact, all of my Jet gear, are sweatshirts and sweater, and it's cold weather attire.
I am wearing
a beautiful windbreaker because today is a windbreaker kind of day. So that's my fashion decision.
All right? It's 49 degrees today.
That's warm for me. Are you kidding me?
Oh, in Evan's world,
that's windbreaker weather. Anyhow, I look at it this way, and I don't think you're going to agree with me, but sometimes I like to put things in very simplistic terms. The Giants are going to make a decision tonight at number 6. Maybe they're going to move up to number 3. Maybe they're going to move back. That's all part of the equation. It is a fork in the road moment tonight for this franchise, for this general manager, for this head coach.
Agreed.
And to me, oh, one for one, we agree.
Mm-hmm.
There are four roads they may go down tonight. Road number 1, and that is the road I think Sean Morash is in favor of, the road that some Giant fans are in favor of, and that is draft your future quarterback tonight or tomorrow. Because I think if you draft a quarterback in the second round,
it's similar. The expectation to play right away is not there. You're not replacing the starter, incumbent starter, but the second rounder is almost the same as the first rounder.
Yeah, unless they're Christian Hackenberg, they're going to get that opportunity to play.
At some point.
Option number one, fork spot number one, draft your future quarterback. Option number two, we call this the Tiki, and that is, I already have a quarterback. His name is Daniel Jones.
Facts.
We're paying him a lot of money.
Facts.
I think he's still pretty good.
Facts.
He's my guy.
Facts.
It's option number two. And along with option number two means Daniel Jones is your quarterback, and Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are betting on Brian Daboll, Daniel Jones, to be their quarterback and be successful. And that means he comes out healthy this year. They make the postseason like they did 2 years ago. And we continue on with the Daniel Jones odyssey. That's route number two. Route number three is you're sticking with Daniel Jones, but it's a freaking disaster. Like an unmitigated disaster where you're picking in the top six again. Well, I have a spoiler alert for you. If you're picking in the top six again, everybody may be fired. I don't see a scenario, Teak, where you keep Daniel Jones, you don't draft your future, things go badly, and Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are given the opportunity next year to draft a quarterback. Because how many times does a general manager and head coach get to finally pick their guy in year four? It never happens. They're gone by that point. And then there's the fourth slot in the road, and you're not going to like this one, but it's true.
Go ahead.
If the Giants go with the Tiki plan, which means Daniel's my quarterback, he's my guy, and I give it a whirl this year. And the Giants are actually pretty good, but Daniel Jones isn't. Can't stay healthy. But they continue to build that ass, and they actually look like they're an improving roster, and you realize it's over for Daniel Jones, health-wise, success-wise. That means you're going to go get a veteran next year. That means Dak Prescott's walking through that door 1 year from now. And to me, those are the four roads when you make this decision tonight. Draft your future, ride or die with Daniel Jones, ride or succeed with Daniel Jones, or ride and replace Daniel Jones with a veteran next year. I don't really see any other option. And so the gamble that you're taking, and I respect it because you believe in DJ and you believe in the wide receivers, is you are putting all your chips in the middle of the table for Daniel Jones or replacing with a veteran, because if it doesn't happen, everybody's fired.
Sounds interesting, your theory.
I think it's a rather bulletproof theory, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, it could be or it could not be. Because Daniel Jones could just be great and everything falls into place exactly as it's been prescribed with the free agency of the offensive line and the Brian Burns trade and Dante Miller, who nobody's talking about, who they stole because he was a free agent all of last year after a failed transfer attempt to South Carolina from Columbia. So I think that there are more options than what you're laying out. Yes, what you're saying on the surface is probably correct, right? That's a good frame.
I'll take that. Probably correct of
what could potentially happen.
Yes.
But I also know that drafting a quarterback is a crapshoot, especially because I don't think there's a ton of consensus around the success potential of the guys that I think are going to be available. Mm-hmm. And so J.J. McCarthy is talking like he's already a Giant. It's insane.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys are. I mean, there was a guy in with Carolina who said, oh, yeah, Coach Canales told me that he's taking me if I'm there at 33. And they asked Dave Canales about this, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, and he said, yeah, I told that to him and about 50 other guys. So it's like it's all nonsense. Like everything that we hear, even if the player sounds compelling, meaning the college player that's coming into the league sounds compelling and what he's saying, they don't know what the coaches or the GMs are going to do. We don't know what the coaches or the GMs are going to do. Now, the current team right now doesn't know what the coaches or the team is going to do. The only certainty is that there are going to be surprises in this year's draft, I believe. It could be guys falling. It could be guys accelerating up the draft board. It could be trades out of the positions that they are in. But I know that the Giants have constructed this team this offseason to win now. And I think Daniel Jones is the only option of all those that we're talking about that gives you a chance to win now. Could he fail? Could he get hurt? Sure. But that's negative thinking. And I don't think manifesting that is something that as a Giant or as a coach or as a general manager, you're even thinking about. You're trusting that Daniel Jones is going to be healthy.
You're right, by the way. You made a very simple point that I will agree with you on. If the object of this draft tonight, and I know it is for the Jets, so it's a little different, but if it is also for the Giants of what gets me closer to winning in 2024, that's all I'm thinking about is I want to win in 2024, then everything you're saying is right.
Yes.
Because then you just rely on Daniel being healthy. You give him some more weapons, whether it's Malik Nabers or another wide receiver, Odunze, who I know you love,
yep,
and you go for it. But if it's a bigger picture thought, then that's not the answer. Because if it's a bigger picture thought, Daniel Jones is the only quarterback truly Brian Daboll has had as head coach of the New York Football Giants.
Yes.
He is about to enter year three. Is Brian Daboll ever going to be able to live with himself if Daniel Jones was the only quarterback he ever had in his tenure with the New York Giants?
Yeah, but
that is a risk on the table.
I don't think that that's a reality. I think I think we have gotten too...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Used to firing coaches quickly. And it's pervasive in the NFL. It's disturbing because good coaches get put out the pasture way before they're ready to. Way before they deserve to be. And so it's challenging to combat that, because what you're talking about is what the fan would scream for. Right? Fire him. He's not worth it. He sucks. He's done. He's terrible. Get rid of him. Right? That we say that after a year. With some coaches.
Yeah, but well, hold on a second. I got to defend ourselves.
This is not after 2 years.
Yeah, but
with some coaches.
Tiki, you may be. I'm not saying you're wrong with the way talented coaches are handled. Mm-hmm. I'm talking not as a fan. I'm talking about reality. Okay, and the reality is in the modern NFL. You think it's reality because the fans yell about it?
Why is it reality? I think fans influence sometimes why organizations lose faith in people, and it's unfortunate because it's not. It's not reality. Like, you don't know what could have happened given another year. And what's the worst that's going to happen? You have another bad year? Right? So, to me, like, there's an urgency that belies the reality of how hard it is to build a winning team and a winning organization. And if you start to see building blocks, you can't just throw them away. And I think Dave's has put building blocks in place that even if they have a subpar season, it's not going away.
No, but you know my point to you, though, Teak, is, and forget about me saying it as a fan or me screaming about it, I'm giving you what I think is the realities of the NFL. And if you have a problem with that, I respect it, but it ain't with me and it ain't with the fans. How many general managers and head coaches throughout NFL history, recent NFL history, finally get to handpick their quarterback via the draft in their fourth year?
Yeah.
How often does that ever happen? And the answer is never. So it may seem unfair and it may seem mean to say, what are you talking about? If they don't draft a quarterback and Daniel Jones in this third season with this group, things go badly, that they get fired, that's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
That's not me firing them. That's the reality of the NFL. And so my point to you is, if they don't draft a quarterback today, or tomorrow in round two,
yeah,
I don't believe they ever get an opportunity to draft their own young quarterback. Do you at least agree with that statement?
No, I don't. Because I think
they're going to be allowed to draft a young quarterback next year after a bad year? In the fourth year?
I mean, why not? Why wouldn't they be?
Because who else has? Like, I'm looking at the history of the sport in the last 10 years. How often does a coach and GM, like a new administration, get 4 years? And in their fourth year is when they finally decide to handpick their guy.
Andy Reid and Mahomes was year four.
Right, but that's what I'm talking
about. Hold on. That comparison is awful, and you know it.
Why? Dave has made the playoffs already.
What? If they make the playoffs, he's not going to get fired. That's my point.
Yeah, but one playoff year out of 3 years, not having the same roster as the Chiefs.
You cannot compare the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid and say that's an example of it.
Yeah,
Come on.
But the Kansas City Chiefs, and I don't want to get down that tangent, because it's a completely different situation.
Agree with you. Thank
and,
you.
And Andy Reid had been a hugely successful, save postseason success coach in the NFL.
Thank you.
For
Teddy.
A decade.
Yes.
Trust me, I lived it. As the on the other side of the the field. But, and so you can't really compare Andy Reid to anybody or the Kansas City Chiefs coaching situation. But what I'm saying is that I think Daves has put together, and Joe Shane with as his compatriot, they've put together a really good roster that can win now. And if you can go get Drake May or even Caleb Williams, who people are screaming that's going to be great, I'm not so sure about that, but whatever. One of the certainties, I would be on board with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think those guys are going to be there. And if you're going to reach for a guy simply because you think you like him and you don't really like him, then I think you're making a mistake.
No, I agree.
And I think that happens so often in the NFL.
You got to get it right. Like, ultimately, we can sit here today before the draft and scream about positions and I want this spot, I want that spot. The truth is, the player better be freaking good. That's really what this comes down to.
And so I know we've become enamored as a football-consuming nation to believe that you got to take a quarterback. If you have a top 10 pick, you got to take a quarterback. I've heard the same cliche 50 million times. How many times are you going to be in the top 10 to take a quarterback? The reality is, when you draft, you better take a non-bustable player. That's really all that matters to me. Take a non-bustable player. Take the guy who's really good. And because of the evolution of the offseason and the free agency, particularly for starting quarterbacks in the league, you don't have to draft the guy that ultimately leads you to the promised land.
Right.
And so, to me, it's make a selection that you know and have faith and have with every fiber of your body is not going to screw you. And right now, I can't say that about all the quarterbacks. I can maybe say it about three of these wide receivers. Offensive lineman, I don't know. A tight end is one of one. Right. So if I'm the Giants, I'm taking one of the three.
What?
And not one of the five or six quarterbacks that might actually pan out. You can't bust.
What scares me, and I've noticed this over the last couple of days around what players have said. Forget about reports and leaks. I think this team, I'm talking about specifically when J.J. McCarthy opens his mouth and speaks, and when Drake May opens his mouth and speaks, I've noticed a pattern. And you know what that pattern is? They talk glowingly about the New York Giants and Brian Daboll.
Right.
J.J. McCarthy has, Drake May has. Drake May recently...
I should tell you something about our head coach.
No, I'm complimenting him. Yeah, right. Yeah, oh yeah. Don't look for a dig here. I'm going to tell you what this scares me, though. So Drake May recently was asked about the Giants, glowingly talks about them. Then he's asked about the Patriots. He's like, yeah, they're pretty good too. Like, you can hear the difference in the way these kids think of Daboll, think of this offense, think of this organization.
That's because Brian Daboll is real. He keeps it real with you.
Yeah.
And the worst thing to do with a young player, young athlete, is BS them.
Because,
like, intuitively, totally. They know that you're lying to them.
So they like, respect, and probably want to be coached by Brian
they
Daboll.
They want to be New York Giants. And there's also a massive history that comes with being a New York Giant.
I don't think they care about that, but sure.
I think you're selling them short, man. New York is a... And other sports will say, it's not the place. Yeah, the Knicks. Nobody wants to go to the Knicks in New York. It's, you can be Madison Avenue anywhere. You hear this nonsense all the time. There is something about the history of the New York Giants that is meaningful to kids that are coming into the NFL.
Okay.
It's just different.
I think it's more, and look, you may be right about that. I can't tell you you're wrong. But what I've noticed about this, and again, it's a compliment to Brian Daboll, is that there are quarterbacks, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, no matter what you think about them as players, they look at Brian Daboll and say, oh, man.
Yeah,
that guy will get the best out of me.
And they've likely been influenced by Eli Manning.
Maybe. Okay, maybe that has a lot to do with it.
Right, because the Mannings, they're all in that academy.
But
they're all in that little sphere.
But
and
the
so
reason...
They've heard it, obviously, from just the sphere of the Giants, but they also have heard it from Daboll. They hear it from their coaches. They hear it from the Mannings. The Giants are a great organization.
Yes.
I know it, sometimes people get it twisted, and they want to kill John Mara, and they want to kill the losing over the last decade, but the organization is phenomenal.
I'm not denying their phenomenal ability. I'm saying that it sounded more like May and McCarthy talked about the system, the coach, and what this guy can get out of them.
Yes.
That's what I heard
because
them.
This is what he did with Josh Allen,
and this
is what he did with Daniel Jones.
And that's what scares me about the Tiki plan. Hear me out on this. Because how can we live?
Just because someone wants to come here
no,
doesn't mean that I really want to date you, man. It doesn't make me.
That's not what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you're saying, but you don't know what I'm saying, which is it would kill me to not have the opportunity to see Brian Daboll mold a young quarterback. That would kill me if I'm a Giant fan.
He did mold a young quarterback. And Daniel Jones. Oh, remember, he was 25 years old.
I know, but another one. One that they handpicked. They didn't handpick Daniel Jones. He was already here when they got here.
I know what you're saying.
You agree with what I'm saying.
Of course I do.
Can you imagine this administration not lasting never get to see him mold a young quarterback?
Here's my problem is that we are trying to elevate quarterbacks to this pantheon of we can't exist without you. And if last I checked, football is a team sport, right? The Kansas City Chiefs didn't win the Super Bowl last year because of Pat Mahomes. I know everybody wants to say that. Everybody believes in the towel of Pat Mahomes. He is Messiah. I mean, hell, they're gonna have Passovers for him pretty soon, right? Pat Mahomes is the greatest thing since the history of the world. I mean, in moments, yeah. But they won because their team is solid, mm-hmm. right? There was a significant portion of last year where their offense sucked, and that included Pat Mahomes. But their defense was solid. Their coaching was on point. They had every little piece taken care of so that when it mattered, they played good enough to win a Super Bowl, get into the playoffs, and win another Super Bowl. That's a team effort. And so we focus all of that information and all of that energy on the quarterback. But it's not always the most important piece of a puzzle. That's all I'm saying. And so now, as we approach this draft, and we're 6 hours away from the start of this draft, all anybody's going to talk about are all of these quarterbacks. And we just want to elevate them to the Pat Mahomes potential. Trust me, most of them are not going to be that. Mm-hmm. Right? And so you're going to risk whatever you've built with whatever you have to go get that guy who you think can be the Messiah light, and it might not happen. And to me, it's dangerous to go chase an idea. And that's what I feel like we're doing. We're chasing an idea of what a player could or could not be.
What scares me is that there is a likely scenario, if you get what you want, which Tiki's endorsed, he wants Odunze at number 6.
I want a guy who's going to definitely be a star.
Okay. And by the way, you can get two things, and they can give you contradictory results. You may get Rome Odunze at number 6, and you may be right that he's a star. And you also may get Daniel Jones breaking down again, and you need an answer at quarterback. And what would scare me to death if I'm a Giant fan, and I'm not telling you, Teak, that J.J. McCarthy is going to be great. Don't take anything I've said as that guy's going to be the Messiah. I don't believe that. But what I believe is Brian Daboll is special when it comes to developing young quarterbacks. And you can see it based on these things that are being said by Drake May, by J.J. McCarthy, and by the results. And what would scare me half to death, and this is why I said it's a fork in the road moment, as much as you may not agree with me on this, there's a scenario where they ride with Daniel Jones, the team does not succeed, and not because I screamed about it on the radio, not because Sean screamed about it on the radio, not even because you as a Giant legend screamed about it on the radio, Brian Daboll may be gone after year 3.
I don't see that.
And it would kill me as a Giant fan it could happen, though.
I know, but
most of the time it does in this NFL.
It would have to be an utter and complete disaster. I don't see that happening.
The
thesis of your argument is that Dabes could be fired after this year.
If they're bad?
The thesis of your argument is that Dabes could be fired after this year. I don't think that's a reality.
The thesis of my argument is if you're picking in the top 5 or 6 again, I think it's likelier than not that he isn't here, which means you never got the opportunity to see Brian Daboll mold a young quarterback. I'm not telling you which of these guys are great because I don't freaking know. We could all lie. I could pretend that this guy's going to be. I have no freaking idea. But here's what I know, and it's a compliment. Brian Daboll's got something with young quarterbacks. He developed Josh Allen.
Why would you fire him?
Because it's the NFL, and after 3 years, if they have a 4-win season, you think he's surviving that?
If they have a 4-win season, then a lot went wrong other than Daniel Jones not being the starting quarterback. Because Daniel Jones was barely available last year, and they won 6 games. So there would have to be a lot that goes wrong.
You think he would survive? Okay, fair enough. Do you think he would survive 6 wins?
100%.
I don't know about that.
100%.
And that's not because I'm yelling or fans are getting crazy about it. That's the NFL, man. How many guys survive that? How many? And again, how many guys get the chance to pick their first young quarterback in year four? It doesn't happen. It's a rarity.
Until it does.
Until unless you're telling me John Mara is going to be the one, and I don't know if he will. And that would, the more you hear young quarterbacks talk glowingly about Brian Daboll, the more I would want.
So why would you fire him?
The more I want him to get his hands on a young quarterback.
Don't you realize how you're contradicting yourself?
I'm not at all.
You're talking about how all of these young quarterbacks who have sat with Brian Daboll rave about him.
Yeah.
In ways that it's so glowing that it masks the success of an organization like the New England Patriots. They're just like, yeah, it's the New England Patriots.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yes.
Because it's at the end of the day, it's about the people within the organization. And Dave's is a great person within the Giants organization. We've known that since he came here. Since day one, we've known that. So why, after three seasons, would the Giants say, regardless of the outcome of the season, yeah, we're going to move on?
Because it's a results business. You just answered it. Because it's a results business.
Yeah, sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. But the results, or the lack of result, only results in firing if there's a lot other nonsense going on. Most coaches get fired because of nonsense, meaning not that it's not justified, but just nonsense is going on behind the scenes, whether it's not being able to communicate, a terrible staff, not having good enough relationships, not developing players. Those are the things that get coaches fired. And Dave's doesn't have that issue.
Wins and losses get you fired.
Sometimes.
Sometimes you're right, it's relationships, but most of the time, it's wins and losses.
My gut is that Brian Daboll is not even close to being on the hot seat.
Well, I didn't say hot seat, but we're about to
but
enter
that's
the
what you're saying.
No, I'm saying it's the third year of him.
But
you
Evan,
think
you're
he's surviving
saying,
a bad season?
What's the definition of a hot seat?
I don't know. It's a cliche we use on talk radio.
If you have a bad season, you're likely going to get fired.
Yeah.
That's hot seat. If the Giants have a bad season, I'm not guaranteeing this because I don't know, but Brian Daboll's not getting
fired. Yeah, I think if they have a bad season, there's a decent chance he gets fired.
I don't think so.
And there's a decent chance
we're just going to disagree.
No,
because I am not saying that this is a prove-it season for Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. I don't believe that. I believe that this thing got pushed out an extra year because of what happened last year. And despite all of the stuff that went wrong for the Giants a year ago, they fought all the way through the end of the season. Like, that character and that personality that he brought to this team 2 years ago, it existed through the negativity of last year, the failure of last year. Like, there was genuine enthusiasm within that Giant locker room, regardless of the losses. And to me, that's more important than the wins and losses when you know you're not winning. You know what I mean? And so I don't see that going away simply because they have a bad season.
Eventually, you have to win games, man.
Yes.
And I don't think year one is enough to supersede bad seasons.
Eventually, you have to win games when you have your roster exactly like you want it. And I don't think it's there yet.
We'll get to your calls next, 877-337-6666. It is draft night, baby. It's also Islander night, game three at UBS this evening.
Nervous?
I expect doom. I expect doom. I do. I mean, when you blow a three-goal lead in game two, it's tough to have confidence.
I was getting ready to say, you had the first period in a little bit to, like, feel good about.
Oh, yeah.
Draw off of that.
One thing, and I think you realize this, is no Islander fan feels good with a three-goal lead.
Mm.
We're just waiting for the shoe to drop. But there is a playoff game at UBS tonight, and that part in itself is exciting, considering a few months ago that seemed very unlikely. Knicks fans may be on their way down to the city of Philadelphia, and I-95 kind of not as they get set for game three against the 76ers. And then it's the New York Giants making a huge, huge freaking decision. That no matter what they do, will cause anger from part of the fan base and excitement from the other half. There are a lot of Giant fans that need a quarterback, and then they differ on whom. And right now it feels like it's trading up for Drake May at 3, or potentially J.J. McCarthy falling to them at 6. Caleb Williams, despite what you think could potentially, you never know, happen, is probably going to Chicago.
Yep.
And it does feel like Jaden Daniels is going at number 2 to Washington, even though he didn't like going to Topgolf with 500 other people.
It was funny. Because they had all, those don't know the story, they had all the prospects in, and all the quarterbacks, all at once, right?
Yeah.
And it's just odd to do that, because you want one-on-one time.
Yes.
With your potential face of the franchise, not, you know, 18-on-4 time.
You know what that reminds me of? And I never did this, so I do not have the experience of this, but I had heard about a concept called speed dating. And I thought about
Wasn't
it.
Wasn't that a TV show?
No, it's like a real thing that you can do. Maybe it was a TV show,
I
too.
I swear this was a TV show.
It's been featured in a lot of TV shows.
Right. I definitely have seen this somewhere on
but
television.
But it's an actual real concept where you go out on like 50 dates in an hour and a half. Like, you sit down, you talk to the girl, you talk to the guy, you communicate for 2.5 minutes,
yeah,
and then you move on to the next.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that is not quite the way to find your quarterback.
Wow.
Tell me three interesting things about you right now. I like to bowl, paint my nails, and I don't know.
Definitely not quarterbacks, but 50 women walked away one night going, I definitely don't want to marry Evan. I'm a loser.
I never did it. I thought about doing it. I never did it. I never actually did the speed dating. I'd heard about the concept, and I thought, that's kind of interesting. Like, saves you a lot of money instead of that one date with one girl who 30 seconds in, you know nothing's going to happen, you got to get through it.
What if you mess up in, like, the first 10 seconds?
Then you go to the next girl.
Yeah,
but don't you see the concept?
But what if you like would have phrased this differently, and you looking at her longingly across the room, like, man, if I would have just said it the other way.
Well, then you could try to restart, I guess.
But Tiki, Evan has season tickets to a team he hates. He's worried about the $40 at Ground Round with a girl he hates.
It's not the money at the Ground Round. It's the time at the Ground Round. Like, if you sit down and go on a date, and listen, I used to date all the time, man. I got a lot of experience with this. And I'll never forget, I told this story on the air, that one girl actually, when we sat down, first thing she said to me is, I know if I'm going to sleep with the guy within 30 seconds. And I'm like, holy crap.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I told you that story.
Yeah. Well, I think there are a lot of guys who feel the same way. Well, you know right away if this is going anywhere. If you're a respectful human being, by the way, Sean, no offense, I love you. You don't belong in this conversation. Loogie can, because Loogie dated. You were with the same woman since, like, elementary school.
I'm happy you went there.
You don't know a damn thing about dating.
I thought you were going to say I'm not a respectable human being, so I'll take that.
No, no, no. It's nothing personal. It's like when we exclude Loogie because he doesn't have kids. Like, you don't know what dating is like.
That's fair. Nor do I want to.
No, by the way, yes, you did great. Like, good for you, man. Like, you met the love of your life when you were 7 years old. She was 5, right? Wasn't that the concept?
No comment.
Whatever. But who wants to then waste another hour and a half when you know it's not going anywhere?
That's the good point.
And I'm a respectful guy. I'm not going to be like, all right, I'm getting the hell out of here. Let me make up an excuse. I got a text. No, I'm going to fulfill the commitments of the date.
Right. So I wonder how, if you are hosting one of these prospects, and it's a quarterback, and you just know in the first, I don't know, 10 minutes, you're like, this guy is not it.
What do you do?
What do you do?
You're stuck.
You have the whole day. Hey, we're going to go to dinner. Ugh. Yeah, we're going to watch some film together. Ugh. Yeah, we're going to do whatever.
Dude.
Get to know one another.
That sounds like the worst possible thing.
And you're just like, can I just send you back on a plane?
All right, Caleb Williams, get out of here, man. Now, let's get to your calls. Let's go to Ryan and Hazlitt. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Beautiful.
Big fan. You know what? I kind of have like a little bit of a conspiracy theory about what the Giants could do over the draft.
Let's hear it.
I like the idea about Daniel Jones giving him the option. If he does well, he does well. But if it all falls flat on his face, there is a person that's with the Giants and that they have very familiar knowing about. And that, what about just tanking the following year and then getting the hopes for Arch Manning in 2 years?
Oh, stop. My God.
I mean, I know they can finagle a trade to go to their places and, you know, welcome arms.
All right. So, first of all, I don't think Arch is going to be in the draft until 2026 because Quinn Ewers is the starting quarterback for the Texas Longhorns. And he's damn good.
Yeah, he might be the quarterback this year.
He probably will be the top-rated quarterback, as Sean just said, in next year's draft. I mean, Shedeur Sanders and whoever else, notwithstanding. So, Arch is not going to play until 2025.
Plus, what's very easy, and very easy for you guys as Giant fans, is Arch should just take a page out of the playbook of his uncle, which is, I'm not playing for the San Diego Chargers. Mm-hmm. I'm not playing for the Arizona Cardinals. I'm not playing for the New York Jets. And just force your way to wherever the hell you want to go.
You think that works in 2026? six.
It worked in 2004 and it worked in 1983, so why not?
So twice in the history of the league it's worked.
Yeah,
I just don't know.
It's a weird concept because John Elway is before my time, mm-hmm. but Eli Manning and the other guy I would use as an example, even though it's a different sport, is Kobe Bryant. Mm. Kobe Bryant, the late great Kobe Bryant, threatened teams and said, if I'm not drafted by the right team, the Lakers, I'll go to Europe. And what I would have done, I remember thinking this as a 14-year-old, was I dare him. Mm-hmm. I would dare him and say, you know what? I'm drafting you. And obviously, I don't know if you know the history, because you were too busy playing football at the time in college and then going to the NFL, the Nets passed up on him.
Yep.
And they drafted Kerry Kittles. And the guy who passed up on him is the great John Calipari.
Mm-hmm.
And I hold that against him to this day. Same thing with the Chargers.
Right.
Now, if they loved Philip Rivers, fine. But I would have said to Eli Manning, I dare you. We're going to draft you. You're going to be our quarterback. And I dare you to sit out a year.
Hold out. Hold out and don't play all season and then re-enter next year's draft.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck with that. I think, and John Elway was even different because John Elway had he was going to play baseball.
Yeah, right? He had the options with the Yankees.
Right, so he had a real other job.
Yeah, Elway was a little bit more of a threat.
Right, because he could have done something else.
Yeah.
Now, ultimately it worked out and all's good, but it's rare. It's very rare that you do that.
Rich is calling from Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Rich?
Gentlemen, what's going on? How you doing today? Happy draft day.
Happy draft evening.
All righty. I heard your point of view, Evan. I don't really agree with it. I heard Tiki's point of view. I definitely don't agree with that.
Oh, good. We're bringing everybody together. I love it.
Right. So we all suck.
Jones is not the answer. And if you keep him there, you're going to see them, you know, switch coaches and maybe GM.
But why do you say with certainty Daniel Jones is not the answer?
Why do I say with certainty? Then I'll give you what I think they should do after that.
Okay.
He's not the answer because if you look at his numbers, and numbers don't lie, yes, his interceptions has gone down, but now you're taking away a lead guy that helped the offense and actually just, you know, technically saved his butt, you know, over the years in Saquon Barkley. And everyone's going to be coming in and rushing after Daniel Jones because they know he's soft.
I don't think he's soft. I think he's been injury prone, but I can't say he's
exactly.
soft.
Exactly.
But
he's soft.
I mean, the only thing that your argument has legs on is that he might not be available.
Well,
that's it.
Look, the first thing he said, and it's worthy of thinking about, even though it's not the end all be all, is something I brought up very early last season to Sean. He got very offended by, and that is Daniel Jones without Saquon Barkley has been very ineffective mm-hmm. in the NFL. Okay, those are the facts. You want me to give you the numbers? I can bore you with the numbers. I have them right in front of me. That's up to you, Sean. You want to hear the numbers or no?
No, he's dead to us.
No, I get he's dead to us. Like, this isn't about putting Saquon on a pedestal. It's about the reality of evaluating Daniel Jones in a new world. It's a new world he's going to be in.
Okay, but it's also an indictment on the Giants for not having a quality backup.
Well, I think it also is an indictment on the rest of the roster, which now should be better, especially if you get what you want and Rome Odunze is on this team.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you've got Jalen Hyatt and you've got Wandale Robinson and you've got Odunze and you've got a better offensive line and you've got Devin Singel. Like, I can see how things can get better because the rest of the weapons are good. But I understand his first point of, hey, it starts with taking away his best weapon and the guy that he's relied on for the last half a decade. Like, that's just the truth. That's just the reality. But here's the other reality. You want to replace Daniel Jones the way I want to replace Daniel Jones, and this is the point Tiki hits on. They better get it right. Like, you can't just take a quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, J.J. McCarthy does not get me hot and bothered. That does not ring as, that's my future.
Yeah, reaching it makes me fearful of it. Like, if it's a reach, then if on your board you don't have him as a top 10 player, then why would you take him as a top 10 player? Because, I don't know how all boards work, but I'm assuming that you look at all the players in the draft and you go down the list, Marvin Harrison, Caleb Williams, et cetera, Joe Wald, Brock Bowers, blah, 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 blah. And on your board next to that player, you can identify, is this a top 10 guy? Is this a top 20 guy? Is this a top first round guy? Is this a second round guy? Like, you have an evaluation. The last thing you want to do is take one of those guys that's, say, like 20 to 30 and put them at six, right? Because that, it's undermining or undercutting all the work you've done on him, and you're using like an emotion and a belief that has no foundation to go take a guy who's too high. You've taken him too high. And I think there's a bunch of guys in this draft, including the three wide receivers, that deserve to be top 10 picks. And if they're there, you take them. The other thing that we haven't even talked about, there are so many teams, Minnesota, the Denver Broncos, who are utterly desperate for a quarterback. Desperate. And they're going to give whatever it takes to get up and get one of these four or five, whatever number we think is going to go in the first round. I don't think the Giants should be in that conversation. Right? They shouldn't be fighting with the Broncos or the Minnesota Vikings to move up to take the Arizona Cardinals spot or the Chargers spot simply to go get a quarterback. To me, that's wasting of your sixth round asset to go take a reach simply because everybody else wants that person.
Yes, unless you believe in the guy.
Yeah.
And I've read you a little bit over the last few weeks. The one guy you believe in,
yes,
is Drake May.
Right.
You believe in him.
I do.
Now, do you believe in him to the level of being a top five quarterback in the NFL or just being a good, respectable starter in this league?
I think he can be a top five quarterback in the NFL.
Hold on. If you believe that...
The challenge is getting to him.
No, but what, this is where we got to have a conversation.
Right, because here's the thing. The Chicago Bears desperately need a quarterback. The Washington Commanders desperately need a quarterback.
I understand
that. The New England Patriots desperately need a quarterback. And then you get outside of behind you. The Minnesota Vikings desperately need a quarterback. The Denver Broncos desperately need a quarterback. When I say desperately, I mean they don't have the right starter on their squad.
No question.
Now. The Giants are not in that we desperately need a quarterback phase.
No, but forget that for a second. If you believe Drake May can be a top five quarterback in the league, that's what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say
he's
this
not
way.
Worth my whole draft, though.
Oh, if he's a top five quarterback in the league,
He's not worth your whole draft.
If he's a top five quarterback in the league?
He's just not. Team build, that crushes team building.
But we've he's a top five quarterback in the league.
Evan, we've seen this over the years, from the Miami Dolphins to others. We've seen this happen, where you give up so many assets that you handcuff yourself for the next 3 or 4 years. And I don't think the Giants are in a position to do that, especially when you have a $40 million quarterback. But when he's healthy, is pretty good on your roster already.
Even if you think he's a top... See, the prerequisite to me saying I'd be all in, I'd give up whatever it takes, is that you're right. He can be a top five quarterback in the league. If he's a top five quarterback in the league, I'm calling up the New England Patriots, and they're going to have to call the cops because I'm going to be so damn aggressive. I'm going to be like, we are not hanging up this phone. Lugie knows what it's like. We do this in fantasy. When I want someone, I will harass Tommy Lugauer until I realize we've made a deal or he threatens to call the police on me.
Yeah, he annoys me till I say yes.
Or I finally realize I got to just move on.
Right, I ghost him.
The Patriots have given the indication that while they're not looking to trade the pick, they're at least talking about it. They're open for business. If we're going to assume it's Caleb number one, it's Jaden number two, and it's Drake May sitting there at three.
I'm not convinced that Jaden's two. I think it could be Drake.
Then if that's the case, then I hang up the phone. Okay, fine.
Right.
Then you're right. But if it is Drake May available at three, and you think he's top five, or at least has the potential to be that, and oh, by the way, I got Brian Daboll, who can be a quarterback whisperer, I am not hanging up that phone until a deal is made. Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're not. But I just don't know if that deal is going to get made because somebody else is also having that conversation.
Oh, no, I got the edge on them. I got number six. I got the edge. The Vikings can't match me with 11 and 23. I got the sixth pick in the draft.
If you're the New England Patriots and you need to retool a lot, yeah, they can.
You don't think six over 11 adds so much?
11 and 23? So you got two first-round draft picks?
I'll give them a second-round pick.
Basically, you do whatever you want. Hell, they could probably give another one, too.
You think 11 and 23 is more valuable than 6?
I think 11 and 23 in 2025 is.
Well, you're going to have to include 2025 too here. I just thought that was assumed.
Right.
I thought you knew that. I thought we all knew that.
So the challenge is, like, once you start getting into this kind of conversation, it's so hypothetical speculation, you can't even think about it. Like, I can't wrap my mind around what hypothetically could happen. The only thing I can talk about is the reality of what I think the Giants should do and who I think they should go after and who they should target.
Let me simplify this then, because you're right, especially when it comes to trades. Here's my point of view, and I obviously know you disagree. I wonder if Sean agrees with me on this. If we have identified a quarterback, in this case Drake May, as a guy that you believe, and I trust your football acumen, you believe, which means I now believe, can be a top five quarterback in the National Football League, there is no price that's going to scare me off. I believe that that's so worth it to get that kind of talent at that position that I'm not hanging up the phone till I make a deal, and there won't be a price. I wouldn't sit here and say, I'll do this, this, and this, but boy, you asked for that second-round pick, I'm out. Like, I wouldn't do that because we're talking about a top-five talent.
Yeah, I agree too. And we're never going to be in a scenario where it's seven first-round picks that are going to go. I think we all understand a reasonable one, two, something like that. Yeah, that's it. You solve a lot of your ills by figuring out the quarterback.
Real quick, Gary's in Newton, New Jersey. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Looking forward to the draft tonight. I have two points, one Tiki and one Evan. I agree with you, Tiki, on the going after either Odunze or even if Neighbors is there. But what do you feel about if you didn't go for them, Joe Alt, to solidify that offensive line even a little more?
Yeah, I mean, if all of the other options are gone, Joe Alt's a great choice because it just gives you depth, right?
Best offensive lineman on the board, right?
He's the best offensive lineman on the board. And let's just say for whatever reason the receivers are gone. You don't really want the quarterback because not all the quarterbacks and all they're not going to be gone by the time they get to you. But let's just say you don't love the quarterbacks and the receivers are gone, and you're just taking best available. It's going to be Joel. It's going to be. Period. You're going to have depth. You're going to have redundancy at certain positions, but that's not a bad thing.
No.
Especially given the plight that the Giants have been in offensive line-wise for the last couple of years.
Tonight is going to be so awesome. I've decided that I'm going to do something tonight I have never done in the history of my life. I'll tell you what it is coming up. I think you'll be very proud of me or disgusted by me. There's no in between.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.